All right, what a bummer, man. We're loving the Giants so much this year. A rain out? Wait, a rain out? Especially for a drought-stricken state. We can't even comprehend a rain out. But, hey, Washington, send us some of that rain when you got it. But anyway, Giants, we had to wear it. We had to eat it. No baseball last night. You go back today with the same two starting pitchers, Anthony DeSclafani and Max Scherzer. Now you go doubleheader Saturday, couple seven-inning tilts. So let's talk about that and this great Tim Kuhn piece on the Giants on ESPN.com about how the Giants became the best team in baseball. But let's do it all with Mike Kuko on the UMA guest line. So happy Friday, Mike. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Well, I'm happy. It's Friday.
Yeah. So are we, believe it or not. How did the rain out kind of ruin your night, right?
Yeah, I was disappointed. You know, I totally get it, but they needed it. I mean, they came out of Texas and, you know, they got deep into their bullpen. So, I mean, a day off's not the worst thing to any of them. They get a little rest and, you know, you don't even fear the doubleheaders anymore. I mean, the seven inning doubleheaders, no players are fearful of it. No bullpen is fearful of it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like a 14-inning game. All right, we have the guys that can do that. So I think every once in a while when you get a rain out, it's a good thing. And I think the way that it happened with the Giants bullpen getting extended a little bit that last day in Texas, I think it's a good thing. So, I mean, they're going to get healthy. I mean, they're going to get Yastrzemski maybe rough back this weekend. So all those things are good things. And because I really thought when Ruff went down, it was going to be a month to 6 weeks. I didn't think it was going to be a long time with Yastrzemski, but Ruff and Tommy La Stella, you know, I was fearful that's going to take a little while. I feel the same way about Longoria. It may take him a little bit too, but at least you're starting to get some of the band back, and that feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yaz will be, it'd be great to see Yaz again, hopefully this weekend, Casale and this whole crew, and plus one of the games Gausman goes on Saturday, which is awesome. I don't know if you've seen it yet, ESPN.com has a great piece by Tim Kuhn, who's a great Bay Area-based writer. You remember him at the Chronicle covering the Giants for years and years, and so there's some really, really, really good nuggets in it. But before we get to that, just we had Sammy Long on yesterday, and it's our first chance to talk to you since his debut. Wow. What a moment. You know, you get these stories in baseball, and his grandparents were there. He says they haven't missed a game since Little League, and it's really cute. And what a performance, Mike. Just, you know, another story. I mean, you had us ready for him Wednesday morning. You told us to get ready for him, and then you saw him pitch. What'd you think?
Well, I was completely thrilled with what I saw, and which was a total command of three pitches. You know, his fastball was good. It was in the mid-90s, and he showed a nice changeup. But that curveball, that's legit. That'll compare with anybody's curveball. And, you know, it's just really a great story. And it's, we see it a lot. You know, guys get out of amateur baseball and they get into the professional ranks and they get into the minor leagues. And, you know, minor leagues are hard. I mean, it's, you're playing every day and you know, you don't have 3 or 4 days off between games. You know, you're in a routine, and it's you grind. And when you get into a situation where you know you're not comfortable, you miss home, or you know you just it's not working. You just can't find a way to get confident or stay confident. You can't deal with failure. I mean, we see a lot of guys drop off. I mean, that was, you know, in my time in the minor leagues, I hit every level: rookie league, A ball, Double A, Triple A. Instructional league, winter ball. I mean, I didn't miss anything. And I saw a lot of guys that were more talented than I was that I thought were can't-miss prospects. And yet, you know, they drop off. You come back, what happened to so-and-so? I quit. Couldn't hang with the lifestyle. Couldn't deal with the failure. And you know, for Sammy Long, I mean, he's a guy that sort of got it together a little bit later. I mean, he always had the tools, but, you know, he just... You know, for whatever reason, you know, he couldn't deal with the failure, and then he backed off, regrouped, and gave it another try. And now look at him. I mean, he's ready to go. Here's a confident athlete that's got great skill, and he finally has the mental strength to deal with his God given ability with the ball. And he's not going anywhere. This guy's going to pitch for a while. I mean, that type of stuff is unique. He's got a little the deception in his delivery, and he's got that screw you in him with three pitches. He doesn't think anybody can hit him. And And if he does get hit, it's like, what happened there? That's not supposed to happen. He gets right back on the hill. So this has really become a nice story, and you know, it comes at a great time.
That's really cool, and you're right. And it was great to talk to him. Local kid, NorCal, the whole deal. Throwing to Buster Posey in the bullpen, couldn't believe it. You know, said he watched all the Giants games on YouTube again after the World Series games after he signed,
yeah,
just to
cool.
revisit his teenage memories, man. So it was a really, really neat interview. And if people want to see it, it's on cambier.com. And he was, it was just awesome, easy to root for, and looking forward to his next appearance here. And which leads us kind of, Mike, to a little reflection on the team. So this Tim Kuhn piece, I'm just reading it, and I'm just, you know. He's finally, nice. Little green onions, Mike. I like it.
Yeah, it was Don Carson. Remember Don Carson from Don and Charlie's?
Absolutely.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah,
once in a while, it's so random, he'll just call up, just like, I got nothing. They closed Don and Charlie's, and he doesn't have another restaurant, although he's saying that he's thinking about opening another one. But every once in a while, he'll get melancholy, and he'll start thinking about the old times, and he wants to tell stories.
Darn it. So are they going to open that smaller one in the new hotel or something like that? Or?
Well, yeah, they're talking about it, but it hasn't come together yet, but it's always hysterical. His stories, oh, my God.
Now, is Green Onions assigned to him, or is that any call?
No, that's any call.
Okay. Nice. All right, good one.
By the way, I've always thought, Mike, that was we may have discussed it at some point in the past. That's the ultimate infield warm-up music. Like when a pitcher's warming up and you're throwing ground balls from first base, Alf, and I think Green Onions should play at every warm-up.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it should precede the national anthem. That's how good that song is.
Good man. This piece that Tim Kuhn wrote is he finally decided to do a deep dive into how the heck are the Giants doing this. And the lead anecdote he uses is Kevin Gausman. And that when Gausman came out for his free agency pitch in 2019, the Giants presented him an idea. They said, your fastball and your splitter are among the best pitches in baseball. Your slider and your changeup are not. So our plan to you is throw your fastball and your splitter. Don't throw your slider and your changeup. How about that, Mike? And he bought it, and look what's happening. It's the example of how the Giants just look at things, like, in a complex way and yet in a simple way, too.
In a simple way, too. I mean, it just seemed like such an obvious. But then you watched him grow with it when he started out last year, and he was making the transition. And a lot of times, you know, he would throw a lot of pitches in, you know, four or five innings. And the reason for that was, you know, he had this great split, but, you know, he was trying to put it in the perfect spot. And then there came that day where he realized, I don't have to do this. I can just tell him what's coming. That's how good that is. I mean, that is the most incredible feeling, when you feel like you have a magic pitch. And now look at his pitch totals when he gets in the game. I mean, you know, guys realize they have to try and beat him deep. They don't want to get in a two-strike count. They're up there swinging at the first pitch. And, you know, it's all the good things you see with an ace have happened to him. And he still throws his breaking ball. He'll still strikes with it. Guys are up there looking for two pitches, and they're not concerned with a changeup or a cutter or a curveball, and he can still throw those things. But bottom line, you know, when his back's against the wall, he's coming at you with those two pitches. His last outings, 10 strikeouts, all 10 strikeouts on the split, all swing and miss strikeouts.
Man,
that's a remarkable thing. And but, you know, here's the thing. The Giants are getting a reputation for being able to do that. They fix guys. They get guys in with talent that have skills, and then they develop, and even guys who've been around for 6 or 7 years. And that is a very powerful thing to have representing your organization, a coaching staff that can make you better, even a guy that's been around for 8 years.
Yeah.
Think about that. It doesn't happen very much.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I haven't read the article, and when because I love Tim Kuhn. He's spot on. He's a gift. And when I'm done with this, I'm on Tim Kuhn.
I know
can't wait to hear what he has to say about this team.
You're going to love it, because one of the really cool things, Tim's so smart, such a good writer, but he says he uses the Gausman thing, and then Gausman's now the king of the world, and he's getting guys out, and he feels great. And here's the sentence that Tim writes. He says, through the brute force of numbers and the incessant drumbeat of optimism, the Giants may have discovered the game's new market inefficiency, confidence. Meaning they used all these metrics and analytics to show Gausman how to be dominant, and now he's got that extra thing that we all liked in the old school way, confidence.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference maker. Mm-hmm. There comes a time that, you know, if you're lucky, if you, because when you get into, and we get back to the same thing as what happened with, you know, Sammy Long, you know, you're not equipped to deal with failure. when you first get into it. You have to learn how to do it, and it's tough. And you have to learn how to maximize your skills. For some guys, it's learning, you know, they show up with a four-seam fastball and a big curveball. Well, all of a sudden, you know, their growth is now you learn the two-seam fastball. Maybe that's your better fastball. Maybe, you know, you learn a cutter. It's a better breaking ball for you. Maybe, you know, try this circle change and get it out towards your fingertips. And all of a sudden, now you can throw it for a strike. Boom, you've got three speeds and two types of fastball movement. Yeehaw, daddy. You know, now I've got some confidence. And you give those guys those type of skills, and you've created a bad animal. It's the same thing with a guy on defense. You know, a guy's defense, you look at what has happened. One of the most remarkable things about this Giants team is the defense. They weren't a good defense last year. They weren't a good defense the last 3 years. I mean, they had good defensive players. I mean, you know, you had Longoria, and you had Crawford, and you had Belt, and you had Posey. But too often, you know, they made mistakes. They threw the wrong base or didn't do a cutoff or for whatever reason. Every one of those guys got better. Posey, you know, they introduced the style of catching on one knee. And he's doing it. He doesn't do it all the time, but he does it. Now he's framing the lower pitch probably better than he ever has. And you take a look at the footwork with Belt, and they've made him a better thrower. And Longoria, I mean, here's a guy in his 14th year, and he's bought into the Kai Correa drills and ways to make your hands quicker and ways to make them in sync more with your lower body and give you a bent elbow reception when you're reaching out for the ball instead of stiff arming the ball. When you're going to your backhand, you know, you're not crossing over with your left leg. You know, you're bending your right leg and you're able to receive that ball to your backhand, which comes up high with a bent elbow and it gives you soft hands. They're all doing things like that. And this is just remarkable how they've made even established great defensive players better. And because I got to tell you, I didn't buy into the 13 coach. I thought that was BS. I thought, wait a second, you're letting all these coaches with big league experience walk out the door? What is going on here? Now I am an advocate. What I see on a daily basis, what this coaching staff has done,
yeah,
what Gabe Kapler has done, I am on board for that very reason. They've given this team confidence in every aspect of their game.
Yeah,
and they've done it with guys who've been established, and I think that needs to be applauded and pointed out more often.
I think what you just said is pretty darn important and well said, Mike. I was just like you, and man, oh man, they have earned everybody's respect the way this is going. It's really, really pretty amazing stuff. So fun stuff. They go this weekend at Washington. Just get everybody right. Today's game regularly scheduled 4:05. DeSclafani Scherzer tomorrow's double headers, seven innings, will be at 11 in the morning and at 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon before they do their thing. Just a little bit on the Nats. 2019 World Series champs, 2020 comes around. They get the pandemic year, and it's not happening for them this year. We had Bob Carpenter on yesterday, their play-by-play guy, and it's just he says they can't hit. And Pat Corbin's not performing, so it just goes to show you, right? I mean, remember how great it was to win that first World Series in 2010. The Giants back it up with another one in 2012. The Nats don't seem to be on that path, so they're probably feeling a little frustration, although Juan Soto remains an absolute dynamo.
Well, they're dangerous. And the thing about every team in the National League East is they all had high expectations coming into the season, every team. And you know, the Mets are on top of the division right now. They're the only team with an above 500 record, and they're six games over. But every team still thinks they're in it. And that includes the Nationals. And look, I don't care if the Nationals were 30 games under 500. They got Max Scherzer on the hill.
Yeah.
And that makes them one of the best teams in baseball every time he takes the rubber. So, you know, you cannot take this Washington team lightly. You have to do what you've always done. You've got to grind, make plays, get the big hit, you know, set up an inning with walks, get pitches out of the starter, just basically what they've done. It's going to be a tough series. And but I do think that to a degree, they're a team that gets helped by the seven-inning doubleheaders just because of how good their starting staff has been, and which means the starting staff, in theory, would throw more innings and the bullpen would have to throw less. So, you know, if you're looking for a slight edge, I think that's one. But I do believe this is going to be a tough series.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I want to mention, we talked to Carpenter about Max Scherzer. And Copes was pointing out there's rumors out there on the, you know, will the Nats with a bad year dump a Scherzer? And Carpenter was talking about him like, Like, he was Tim Lincecum and Madison Bumgarner and Matt Cain rolled into one. He's like, oh, my God, don't touch my Max Scherzer. He's our deity. He's our God. And as an old right-hander, you must love what Scherzer brings to the table. And can you imagine the Nats, you know, trading him? What he means, it's funny because, you know, he didn't come up as a Nat or anything, but he's like their, he's their guy. Strasburg was the MVP, but Scherzer's the, he means so much to that team.
Oh, he's a true anchor. I mean, he's a true ace and a true anchor. No matter how bad your team's playing, when you go out there, just what I just said. I mean, you feel like you're not going to have a chance to win. You think like you're going to win, that you're supposed to win, that you're one of the best teams in baseball because he's out there. You know, so he's a guy that everybody wants. I mean, who doesn't want Max Scherzer? And not only that, he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the clubhouse. He's a good guy in the community. I mean, he's the real deal. So, you know, you got your hands full.
Yeah.
Here's the opportunity. Yeah. You know, DeSclafani right now, Anthony DeSclafani right now, is making that transition that we watched happen with Kevin Gausman. And what has happened with DeSclafani is, you know, he's got the new toy, which is the two-seam fastball from a high three-quarter release. That's such a great pitch. And he's learning how to pitch with it on both sides of the plate. So, you know, it's transition time for him in his career. When you get to that point where you've got weapons that you never had before, and now you have the ability to use these weapons, you want to take on a Max Scherzer. You want to take on a Strasburg. You want to take every badass in the league on, and you want to beat them. Because that's what gives you cred. And that's where DeSclafani's mindset is right now. I mean, he thinks he's a bad animal, and he can beat anybody. So, game on.
There's a great I'll leave it on this. There's a great anecdote in the Kuhn piece that you're about to read as soon as we hang up, where he's talking to DeSclafani. And Kuhn's interviewing him down the left field line at Oracle Park, and they're masked up and everything. But he says at one point they talk about, I didn't realize this stat happened while we were the other day. A Cubs catcher or Mariners catcher named Jose Godoy became the 20,000th player in Major League history. Did you see that, Mike? I missed that.
I did.
Yeah. So pretty neat. And the way Kuhn put it was, every person who ever played in the big leagues from the 1870s with no fences to now wouldn't fill half of Oracle Park. And he said it got DeSclafani looking around and blown away. So given that you're one of those guys, man, congrats. That's pretty cool, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody, Keith Olbermann sent that to us not too long ago, which I didn't even know. I had no idea that was something they even paid attention to. And we were both in the 11,000s. We were actually pretty close to each other. You know, it is. Obviously, when you get to the big leagues, you feel like you've done something that is pretty special. And, you know, the old saying in baseball is, well, it's easy to get there, which it's not. But it's hard to stay there, which it is. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, you do kind of feel like you're in an elite group. I mean, look, this is 139 years of Giants baseball. And when you're in the club, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. That was a great stat, man. So, listen, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 games between now and the next time we talk to you.
All right, let's get it going.
Girl. So
yeah.
We'll have many, many layers and twists and turns to discuss. So go read the piece. Enjoy it with your cup of coffee. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk Monday.
Had a bit.
Mike Kruko. Good Mike Kruko on a Friday, Paulie.
No, it's great. Yeah.
104. Yeah, we always talk about. I mean,
yeah. No,
once again,
I'll take what you're gonna do.
Once again, when the
headphones are gonna come off. Here come some compliments.
When they blow us out, when they finally get us, they're gonna say, "How was your run?" I'd say, "I'd like to thank Kruk and Kai for my career."
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to say. So you're listening to the KMBR Morning Show on KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Those guys are great. 4 games between now and the next time we talk to Mike.
4 games, you know what I mean? Led Zeppelin 4, whatever it takes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Black Sabbath Volume 4 too now. My favorite one. Yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, all yeah. Right. Volume 4. I recommend it to everybody in the room.
Okay, here's the deal. Let's take the Power Hour rolls.
Okay.
Top 6, cooler of content. Susan Slusser.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Friday vibe with Sluss.
Are you in a, like, demand a win mood like I am today, too? I kind of demand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not accepting no for an answer on this one, Copes. It has something to do with the rain out, I think. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Let me give you a walk-in yes. Doing, like, his best Marv Albert. Yeah.
And the deal being, of course, that, like, if the Giants lose 2 in a row, I mean, we're going to be, what
well,
are we
going to do? Well, that's a crisis. Now we got a crisis.
I can't even comprehend
it. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, again, I can't have that.
I thought that was a pretty cool stat about the 20,000.
Yeah.
And how it wouldn't fill half of Oracle Park. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All right, top 6.
Here we go.
Top 6 coming up. Power Hour on the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.